Have you ever wondered what it would be like to share your birthday, your looks, and your entire childhood with two other people? For the Kettle triplets, Kat, Lynn, and Gemma, this reality erupted into public spectacle one cold June night at Portofino's, an upscale Sydney restaurant. What began as their 34th birthday celebration ended with one sister wielding a fondue fork like a weapon before hurling it across the table at her pregnant sister, where it became embedded, with surgical precision, in her stomach. As crimson blood seeped through cream silk, the attacker fainted, hitting her chin with a crack on a mahogany chair. Meanwhile, the third sister displayed an almost surreal calm, calling an ambulance while simultaneously ordering ice water from a stunned waiter. Within hours, versions of this dramatic scene were being described across the city, in homes, offices, and coffee shops, each telling slightly different from the last. But to understand how three successful professional women ended up in such a situation, we need to go back to the beginning. On an ordinary Wednesday evening, Kat's husband Dan makes an unexpected confession during dinner. He admits to being unfaithful the previous month. This revelation shatters Kat's world, leaving her reeling between disbelief and shock. Later at a local pub, she struggles with whether to tell her sisters, knowing their protective instincts would make the situation overwhelmingly real. When they finally arrive with their usual banter and warmth, Kat finds herself saying, "I've got something to tell you." Meanwhile, Lynn, the eldest and most organized sister, navigates her own domestic challenges. Known for her color-coded to-do lists and meticulously tracked goals, she's built a thriving business and picture-perfect family life that masks her desperate need to escape what she calls the Kettle genes and their chaotic childhood. When her 15-year-old stepdaughter initiates an uncomfortable conversation about relationships, Lynn struggles to maintain her carefully constructed control. Despite sharing DNA, each Kettle sister has carved a distinct identity. Lynn appears in magazines as a superwoman, juggling her gourmet brekkie bus business with family life. In reality, she obsessively organizes everything, from friendship rankings to business projections, to avoid repeating their chaotic, unpaid bills childhood. Gemma, the perpetual free spirit, has cycled through 14 relationships in 10 years, each ending when the initial excitement fades. When Charlie, a locksmith she stood up, insists on breakfast as redemption, his patience suggests she might break her destructive pattern. Kat, reeling from Dan's betrayal, finds herself spying on Angela, the law student having an affair with her husband. Discovering Angela is both attractive and nice only fuels her frustration. Later, the sisters comfort Kat with food, bad romantic comedies, and their childhood igloo game, a blanket and flashlight ritual that always made them feel safe. Despite their differences and constant bickering, the Kettle sisters remain each other's strongest support system. During marriage counseling, Dan expresses frustration about feeling excluded from Kat's tight bond with her sisters, describing them as this exclusive little club. Their counselor inadvertently uncovers an explosive secret. Dan had dated Lynn before, pursuing Kat, a fact hidden throughout their marriage. This revelation fractures the sisters' relationship, with Kat rejecting Lynn's attempts at explanation. The situation worsens through hostile emails about Christmas plans. Kat announces she's boycotting the holiday entirely, breaking family traditions. When Gemma accidentally includes Kat in an email meant only for Lynn, an even more devastating truth emerges. Lynn and Dan's relationship had been sexual. Kat lashes out, barely containing her devastation. Yet amid this turmoil, Kat discovers she's pregnant. The news creates a moment of genuine connection as she embraces Gemma with complete involuntary abandon. Dan moves from bewilderment to joy at the revelation. On Christmas Day, despite family chaos, broken air conditioning, and teenage drama, the celebration takes another shocking turn when Frank and Maxine, the sisters' long-divorced parents, announce they're dating again and in love. Kat's pregnancy joy proves heartbreakingly brief. After her miscarriage, her sisters and mother gather around her kitchen table, sharing walnut bun with butter, the Kettle family's traditional comfort food. Kat reflects bitterly that, unlike previous family deaths, her baby had no name or gender, just a nothing that she had foolishly loved. Adding to her pain, Kat discovers Dan's continued betrayal through his phone bill, lengthy calls to Angela, including an hour-long conversation the day after she announced her pregnancy. In a stunning twist, Gemma discovers she's pregnant with Charlie's baby. Despite visiting a doctor and stating, "I can't have a baby," she learns it's too late for termination. Instead of keeping the child, Gemma proposes Kat should adopt it, a solution she sees as win-win. Kat, 33 and longing for motherhood after her miscarriage, agrees to consider it. Family members try changing Gemma's mind, Lynn suggesting financial help, Maxine offering childcare assistance, but Gemma remains resolute, even as she begins having vivid nightmares about Charlie taking the baby. At their birthday dinner, the same one that began with the fondue fork incident, tensions explode when Lynn reveals she tried contacting Charlie about Gemma's pregnancy. This triggers an intense moment where Kat claims the baby is hers, but Gemma suddenly realizes she wants Charlie involved in her baby's life. In a devastating moment for Kat, Gemma announces she's changed her mind about giving up her baby. When labor begins, Charlie arrives at the hospital bewildered and unprepared, but agrees to help when identified as the father. Meanwhile, Kat sits in the waiting room making desperate bargains with God. She'll give up alcohol and accept childlessness if only Gemma and the baby survive. The next morning, Kat holds her nephew for the first time, an 8-pound bundle with a wrinkly face and black hair. With her jaw wired shut from the previous night's injury, she can't respond when Gemma apologizes for changing her mind. 6 weeks after the restaurant incident, Kat meets Dan at a deserted park. Though her jaw has healed, she's been living robotically, working obsessively while keeping the nursery door firmly shut. Dan reveals he and Angela are moving to France for what was once Kat and Dan's dream job. The thought that Angela might have Dan's children, the ones Kat had always imagined, devastates her. Yet from this pain emerges opportunity. Kat's career flourishes with a successful Valentine's campaign and promotion. When Lynn's ex-boyfriend Joe mentions his publishing company needs someone to write a teen self-help book, Kat's newsletters to her stepdaughter Kara catches attention, offering her a chance at authorship. Meanwhile, Frank and Maxine's relationship deepens. "We're different people now," Maxine explains, dismissing their past mistakes. 6 months after their wedding, the triplets celebrate at Balmoral Beach. Gemma shows photos of her healthy baby boy, and Kat, somehow different, decides to ask the photographer from the restaurant night on a date, to her sister's excitement. Like soap bubbles dancing like hundreds of tiny little rainbows, the Kettle sisters continue their dance of conflict and reconciliation, separate yet forever connected through heartbreak, betrayal, and joy.